Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the D1 Committee on Infection call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for question and answers. Instructions will be given at that time. If you should require offline assistance during the call, please press star then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to our host, Ms. Emily James.
Thank you. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions decision regarding the University of Hawaii and NOAA. As members of the media, you should have received a link to both the press release and public decision, which contains the details of this case. The information can also be found at ncaa.org. Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and the public. The members who reviewed this case include Michael Adams, Chancellor of Pepperdine University, Britton Banowski, Executive Director of College Football Playoff Foundation, Cheryl Cartwright, President Emeritus at Kent State University, Greg Christopher, Chief Hearing Officer and Athletic Director at State University, Bobby Cummins, former head basketball coach at Georgia Tech, Joel McCleary, former University of Minnesota Athletic Director, and Bill Pilgrim, attorney in private practice. Greg Christopher will now discuss the findings and decisions of the infraction panel. Following his opening comments, we will take questions.
Thank you, Emily. The Committee on Infractions decision details the findings and penalties in this case. Our comments today are designed to address your question. However, the report stands on its own merits. The violations in this case centered on the former head men's basketball coach violating NCAA ethical conduct rules and his failure to promote an atmosphere for compliance in his program. A former assistant head basketball coach also violated NCAA ethical conduct rules when he provided an extra benefit to a student athlete, provided false information about the benefit during interviews, and altered a financial responsibility form on behalf of another student athlete. According to the facts of the case, the director of basketball operations participated in scouting and instructional on-court activities with the men's basketball team, even when the former head coach knew it was impermissible for a director of operations to participate in coaching activities. After the former head coach told the director of operations not to coach and received similar direction from the compliance office, the director of operations infrequently assisted student athletes during practice. The director of operations became accountable coach when he participated during scouting sessions and practice, causing the university to exceed its coaching limits. During the investigation, the former head coach provided false or misleading information about the director of operations' participation in scouting and practice. Additionally, the former head coach learned about a student athlete's impermissible use of a booster's car. Upon finding out about the possible violation, the former head coach told the student athlete to stop driving the car and told the booster to stay away from the men's basketball team, but he did not report it to anyone in the athletics department. The former head coach also asked the men's basketball team to keep the matter in-house. When the former head coach allowed the director of operations to participate in coaching activities, failed to report a possible violation, and provided false or misleading information during the investigation, the former head coach violated NCAA ethical conduct rules. Many of these violations could have been avoided or handled differently if the former head coach and director of compliance would have maintained a professional relationship. Further violations occurred when a potential transfer student athlete was applying to the university. The school required the student athlete to submit a supplemental information form used by the university to determine if international students have the financial means to support themselves if they are admitted. The Office of Student Affairs informed a former assistant coach that the amount of support listed on the form was insufficient to allow the student athlete to obtain a visa. Shortly after that notification, the Office of Student Affairs received a copy of the form that made it appear the student athlete had the means to attend the university. The former assistant coach insisted that the student athlete's uncle completed the form, but later acknowledged that he had altered the form and provided it to the university. The former assistant coach also allowed another student athlete to keep an iPad that was given impermissibly to the student athlete by the coach's wife. The former assistant coach violated NCAA ethical conduct rules when he knowingly altered an admission slip in an attempt to facilitate a student athlete's admission to the university. He engaged in further unethical conduct when he allowed the student athlete to keep the iPad, then failed to provide details surrounding the iPad during various interviews with the university and the NCAA enforcement staff. Penalties and corrective actions include 3-year probation period from December 22, 2015 through December 21, 2018. A 3-year show cause order for the former head coach December 22, 2015 through December 21, 2018. If the former coach seeks employment at an NCAA member school, he must be suspended from all coaching duties for the first 30% of the season, not counting exhibition games. He must also attend an NCAA regional rules seminar during each year he is employed at an NCAA school during that show cause period. A 2-year show cause order for the former assistant coach from today through December 21st, 2017. If he seeks employment at an NCAA member, he must appear before the COI to detail why his athletic duties should not be restricted. Next, the reduction of men's basketball scholarships by 2 for a total of 11 during the 16-17 and the 17-18 seasons. The university may credit its self-imposed 2016-17 scholarship cut. A 2016-17 postseason ban for the men's basketball program. A vacation of wins in which the men's basketball student-athletes participated while ineligible. The university will identify the games impacted following the release of this public report. A prohibition of the men's basketball staff from conducting on-campus prospect evaluations for the first 5 official visits of the 15-16 academic year. That was self-imposed by the university. A reduction of the maximum number of countable athletic activity hours by 1 hour per week in the 15-16 men's basketball season, also self-imposed by the university. A $10,000 fine, self-imposed by the university, plus 1% of the total budget for the men's basketball program over the previous 3 years. That was imposed by the panel. This concludes my opening remarks.
Thanks, Greg. Lilla, can you please explain how reporters should indicate they would like to ask a question?
Certainly. And ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, please press star, then 1. You'll hear a tone indicating you've been placed in queue, and you may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. And we do ask that you limit yourself to 1 question, and then you may re-enter the queue. So first we'll go to the line of Ferd Lewis with the Honolulu Star.
Good morning. I wonder if you could tell me what the postseason ban, what are the rules on that as far as players are able to transfer without penalty?
Thanks, Bert. My understanding, I didn't quite hear the question, but I believe it was about the postseason ban. And the postseason ban is for the 2016-17 season. It does not impact this season. And related to transfer rules, yes, players may transfer without the 1-year sit-out penalty after this season.
And once again, for questions, it's star 1 at this time.
And seeing no other questions, thank you again for joining us today. This concludes our comments. A recording of this teleconference will be available in the near future at NCAA.org.